In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at Lesson 53, the Catholic Church, Catholicity and Apostolicity. The image is a diptych, the two pictures. On the left, we see, looks like some apostles or bishops confirming individuals. And on the right-hand picture, we see a sick or dying man being anointed, presumably being given last rites. And the caption reads, "The apostolicity of the Church receives additional proof from the fact that today it still administers the very same seven sacraments administered by the apostles. Non-Catholic churches have abandoned most of the sacraments, but the Catholic Church preserves and administers them all. Among the sacraments thus preserved are confirmation and extreme unction. St. Peter and St. John administered the first in Acts 8:14-17. St. James wrote about the second in St. James chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Why is the Church Catholic or universal? The Catholic Church is Catholic or universal because it teaches all nations, races, and ages, and it teaches all things commanded by Christ. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the very ends of the earth. Acts 1. The very name of the Church is Catholic. That is universal. Even its critics admit that it is Catholic. It has existed in all ages since the time of Christ and teaches all peoples of every nation the same faith everywhere. It was St. Ignatius, in the year 50-107 AD, appointed bishop of Antioch by St. Peter, who first used the Greek word katholikos, meaning universal, when referring to the Church founded by Christ. This he did in order to distinguish the true Church, already being preached throughout the world, from heretical sects that had arisen. In the 4th century, certain sectarians protested against the true Church, yet still called themselves Christians, and so Catholics began to call themselves Catholic. In that same century, St. Augustine said, "All heretics wish to call themselves Catholics, yet if you ask any of them to direct you to a Catholic Church, he will not direct you to his own." Wherever we go, whether in Europe, America, Africa, Asia, or Australia, we shall find the Catholic Church established. Everywhere it teaches the same doctrines taught in the United States. Everywhere it is ruled by the same head recognized in the United States, the Pope. When we say the Church is Catholic or universal, we understand that wherever it exists, it must have the mark of unity. Otherwise, it would not be the same body, but many separate bodies. Some heretical sects have branches in different countries, but they are really different bodies because they change doctrines under different conditions. The Church everywhere teaches all the doctrines that Christ commanded His apostles to teach. In the Catholic Church is fulfilled the prophecy of Malachi, "From the rising of the sun to the going down, My name is great among the Gentiles, and in every place there is sacrifice, and there is offered to my name a clean oblation, for my name is great among the Gentiles, saith the Lord of hosts." From Malachi 1:11. The true Church must be so organized that it can admit all men into its communion. This the Catholic Church does. Christ founded the Church for all men, not only for a selected few. He died for all men, and wishes the fruits of his death to do good to all men. At present, only the Catholic Church is to be found all over the world, ministering to all races and peoples, to all classes of the population, poor or rich, wise or ignorant, saint or sinner. The Catholic Church is the only church for every man. Most denominations are national, all are localized. For example, in Germany, the Kaiser used to be the head of the Lutheran Church. In Russia, the Tsar used to be the head of the Russian Church. The King of England is head of the Anglican Church. Why is the Catholic Church apostolic? The Catholic Church is apostolic because it was founded by Christ on the apostles, and according to his divine will, has always been governed by their lawful successors. Apostolicity is easily proved by the facts of history. If a church cannot trace back its history lawfully in an unbroken line, step by step to the apostles, it is not the true church. Pope Pius XII, our present pope, is the direct successor of St. Peter. Our Pope Pius XII passed away, I believe, in 1958. So we've been without a pope since that time. He is the lawful successor of the pope who preceded him, and thus each pope lawfully succeeded the one before him until we reach St. Peter, the first pope, chosen by Christ himself. All the sees founded by the apostles perished or were interrupted except the see of Peter alone. Where Peter is, there is the true church founded by our Lord. The sects that broke away from the unity of the church thus lost their connection with the apostles. They were all begun by individuals who could never have had any authority from either Christ or the apostles. Most of them came some 1,500 years too late. Non-Catholic denominations claim that they did not begin new churches, but merely reformed the old one. In answer, we ask, did the true church exist at the time of the founding of these new churches or not? If it did not, then Christ's promise to be with his church always had failed. His church had died, and no human reform could possibly have resurrected it. If it did exist, then those who invented new doctrines were not reforming it, but founding new churches. In the same way, the church derives all its holy orders, doctrines, and mission from the apostles. It is built upon the foundation of the apostles, of which Christ is the cornerstone, Ephesians 2:20. It holds intact the doctrine and the traditions of the apostles to whom Christ gave authority to teach. St. Paul says, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel to you other than that which we have preached to you, let him be anathema, from Galatians 1:8. A church which at any time denies an apostolic doctrine, discards the sacraments of holy orders, or breaks away from obedience to the Pope, ceases to be apostolic. It becomes a dead branch broken off from the parent vine, which is Christ himself. I am the vine, you are the branches. From St. John, chapter 15, verse 5. Okay. Following, we have a list of things that Catholics do not believe. Okay. That the Pope is God and can do no wrong. That anybody or anything may be worshipped or adored besides the true God. That the Blessed Virgin is equal to God. That images may be worshipped. That indulgences give permission to commit sin. That a Mass can be bought, that forgiveness of sin can be bought, that sin can be forgiven without true sorrow, that scapulars, medals, crucifixes, and other sacramentals can give graces without proper dispositions on the part of the user, that non-Catholics will all be damned, that all Catholics will go to heaven, that the Bible is the only rule of faith, that anybody may interpret the Bible, that our Lord Jesus Christ established many churches, that outward piety is profitable without charity of the Spirit, that all religions are the same. Okay. So again, all those propositions there are things that the Catholic Church does not believe. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Okay. I did find it interesting that St. Ignatius found it necessary to label the church as Catholic to distinguish it from all those others who were claiming to be Christian. So it wasn't enough just to be labeled as a follower of Christ. The church had to adopt another name to distinguish the true church from all the others, and it was St. Ignatius who first coined the name Catholic or Universal. So it was necessary right from the beginning to start making distinctions that we are not this group or that group, that the Catholic Church is the church founded by Christ. With the coming of Vatican II, we see another problem. How do we distinguish ourselves from the new church that was created with Vatican II? I don't really like any of the choices that have been made. Call ourselves the true church, the remnant church, the traditionalist, many different adjectives have been proposed, and I don't really like any of them. I want to hold just that we are Catholics, or we are the true Christians, those who are following the laws of the church, the doctrines of the church that existed before Vatican II Council, or perhaps more accurately, I'd like to point to the Council of Trent, because it was principally at the Council of Trent that so many of the different Protestant ideologies that have come up have been condemned. So we have those who want to call themselves, we say the Tridentine Mass, or the Mass of the Council of Trent. It's hard to say that there, whether the question is, are there any true Catholics other than us in the world, besides the ones that Father sees in Europe thinks? We have Father, or Bishop Madrigal in Mexico, the priest working with him there. But other than that, I don't know. It is really difficult for me to conceive that all the bishops have succumbed to the heresies of Vatican II and have joined them. I somehow believe that with the grace of God, that there are others in Europe, and that was one of the things that kept us from going to Europe for quite a while. Once I thought, surely there's somebody there, but the Lefebvreites moved in, the different groups moved in, and the individuals there in the Czech Republic came pleading with me. Actually, one of them has a brother, I think, in one of the Carolinas, I believe, that used to drive to Kentucky once a year, usually right around the Easter season, to go to confession. And he came pleading with me, you know, can you do something for my brother in the Czech Republic? We have a church there. We have a group of people there. I thought, how can I help these people? I mentioned it to Father Joseph, and Father Joseph volunteered. I will go. I said, okay, here's the number. Contact them. It is wonderful, but I still find it difficult to believe that there are not true Catholics there that are still holding on to the faith in some manner. What I don't know how, but I know the ways of God are beyond our own comprehension. All right. Perhaps brings me to the next conclusion, or next point I wanted to make, that Catholics do not believe that list of things there. Catholics do not believe that non-Catholics will all be damned. So just because they're not members of the Catholic Church doesn't mean that they are damned, that God will judge them individually for what they've learned, or what they've believed, what they've rejected of the teachings of Christ. So we don't know the extent of graces that others have been given. And we like to point out that the Catholic Church has never officially declared that anyone is in hell, though she has declared there are saints in heaven, and dogmatically defined that this individual is a saint in heaven, and you can pray to this individual for their assistance, their intercession, if you will. But the Catholic Church has never said this individual is definitely in hell. And so we can always pray. If they're in hell, obviously our prayers are not going to get them out of hell, but our prayers will not be wasted. God will apply them. They will merit graces for someone else. It is a doctrine of the Catholic Church that outside of the Church, that there is no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. And Father Feeney took that to the literal extreme, that unless they were Catholic, they were damned. They were going to hell. And that is not the Church's understanding of this doctrine, but that all the graces come to us through the Catholic Church. And it is, even for those outside of the Church, the graces that they receive have come to them from the Catholic Church. Okay, so on the other hand of that, the Catholic Church does not teach that all Catholics are going to go to heaven. We know very well that our Lord gives the parable of the wheat and the cockle and says, let them grow together until the harvest. And so we know very well that there are sinners intermixed with the saints in the Church here on earth, and the angels at the end of time, at the time of harvest, will separate the good from the bad. Okay. So the successors to the apostles, we still have that in the bishops, who are the true successors. And we can trace our apostolic succession back to the apostles if you want to. Shortly after I was consecrated, I did begin researching that and on the internet, and it was very interesting going through Archbishop Nodding talk, and I believe he was consecrated. I forget which pope elevated him to the bishopric. I didn't go any further than that because obviously once you find a legitimate true pope, that is already self-evident, we can trace ours, you know, mine personally through Bishop Lewis through Bishop Musi and two of the Mexican bishops, and through the two Mexican bishops to Archbishop Nodding Tuck, and Archbishop Nodding Tuck, I believe it was Pope Pius X, I don't know exactly if that is the exact one or not, but I do remember I did a little research into that, and we have that traceability, if you will. It is a little difficult to say that we are sede vacantis, that we're not united with a pope. I don't want to say the pope, because this man is not a pope, and if you simply read the news or follow what's going on in the Vatican and the Novus Ordo Church today, I think it becomes, at least in my mind, self-evident that this man's not even Catholic, much less a pope. I thought there was something else I wanted to bring up, but I can't think of it now, so there are no more questions. We will end with our prayer, the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.